God Almighty, we worship you, Jesus. Thank you that we can get together as your people and just declare this from our hearts, Lord. It's not just a song for us, Lord God, it is a reality. As has been said this morning, we are your children. It's because, Lord Jesus, of your sacrifice that we can come to the Father this morning. Knowing that he's a loving God, a heavenly Father. Thank you that you embrace us all, Lord. We thank you for your presence here in this place, Lord. Thank you that you turn this physical earth here into holy ground because you are here. Where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. We're here this morning not to listen to a man preach. We're here to meet with Jesus. We're here to have an encounter with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. As we pray together as your people, we open up our hearts and our minds and say, Here, praat met ons, verander ons levens, laat ons die vrug van die Heilige Gees kan dra. Laat ons 'n impak kan hê in die koninkryk van duisternis. Die koninkryk op te bou in mense se harte. Laat u perfekte wil geskied word in ons midde, hier op aarde, soos wat dit is in die hemel. That's the cry of our heart, Lord. We say, Your kingdom come. Your will be done, not only one day when everything is said and done, but we can experience the kingdom principles of God Almighty here and now in our lives. We thank you, Lord, this is your time. This is your space, your place, your atmosphere, your presence. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen and Amen. Groet mekaar vriendelik. High five people around you. Ons first time visitors, baie welkom hierso. Ons hoop en vertrou julle voel tuis. It's good to see you all. Vernon, ek het jou ontmoet. Ek hoop jy voel tuis hierso, broer. Ek hoop jy ek preek jou weg nie. Geere, almal van julle aanraak. It's good to see you folks. Every day above ground is a good day. Hallelujah. Is Stephen and Verleen perhaps hier so? Stephen and Verleen, yeah, okay, 100%, fine, een dag miskien, hallelujah. Guess what we're speaking about this morning? You guessed it, we're getting close to the end. Folks, we've gone through so much. We're getting to the point now where we're going to look at what this heaven's like, the place where God dwells, and it's something for us to look forward to, a new home. Speaking of new homes, Colette and I are trusting God for a new place to stay. Sukie groot fancy huis nie, we just want to be closer to this building here because we committed, we're in this for the long haul. It's all, it's not just a sideline for ons. So when the Holy Spirit reminds you of us, trust God for the right house at the right price, in the right place, please. We'd appreciate your prayers for that. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 27. Let's go. We go through this and unpack this. We'll see how we go. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about this morning. So excited that we might only do chapter 21. We might get to chapter 22, but either way, ek is gereed. Either way, ek is gereed en ek hoop julle ook. Ek hoop en vertrou, jy kry iets van die Here vanoggend. Deur sy Heilige Gees. Are you ready, verse 1 of Revelation 21? Are you ready, church? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Aww. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write. For these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts.
He overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 in the south, 3 in the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. And then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation had jasper, the second sapphire, third, that word, chalcedony, or chalcedony, an Afrikaans. The fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, ninth topaz, tenth chrysoprase, chrysosprophy, or whatever, divert, nay. The 11th jacinth and the 12th amethyst. I'm actually doing discredit to how beautiful it is, but wait, there's more. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But they shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Father, these words were breathed and uttered and spoken by angels and you personally and Jesus to the Apostle John, who faithfully wrote it down, and you watched over it so that we could enjoy it today. That's our prayer, that you watch over your word to perform it, and that it fulfills the purposes for which you send it forth. It shall not, we declare by faith, return to you null and void, but it shall bear much fruit in our lives to the praise and glory of Jesus as we become more and more like you with every reading of your word. Praise be to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's unpack some stuff. Let's go. 8 minutes so far for the intro. Verse 1, the large oceans covering the earth as we know it says there'll be no more sea. Imagine that. No, relax. The way we know it today, the majority of the surface of the earth as oceans will not be like there, but it will be definitely be seas and rivers and lakes forever and ever. Many, many, many scriptures confirm this, but here's just one. Zechariah 14 in verse 8. And it says, in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern. Half of them towards the eastern sea, and half of them toward, sorry, guys, I didn't give it to you, I know, my fault, my bad. Half of them towards the eastern sea, and half of them towards the western sea. In both winter and summer it shall occur. That's how it's going to be. So the sea as we know it, that's going to change. Verse 2, clear proof. He says, come, I'm going to show you the Lamb's bride. And the new Jerusalem comes down. He says, there's the Lamb's bride. We are, I know Christianese, we speak with the bride of Christ. We are part of the bride of Christ because we're going to dwell in the city, which is actually the bride of Christ. Are you with me, church? There are seven names anyway for the names of the city. Bride of Christ is just one of them. Verse 3, it says there's going to be like, we're going to dwell with God. Folks, we don't fully grasp the magnitude of that. Verse 3, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God, it's his place. You know, there's a thing called sanctuary. You can have a sanctuary, and then you can have like a state of sanctuary where you set apart. Yes, afgesonder. It's your, in today we speak about happy place. You're in your happy place. For some people, it's on the back wheel of a motorbike. Other people, it's flying off a mountain like Corbis. Other people, it's catching that perfect photograph. Others, it's you track a sneller and you smell gun smoke. Others, it's whatever. But the Tepanea, I don't know, Annie. I don't know who that is. Like trigger happy people. I mean, Nathan. I pretty sure. Now help me, Rach. Where was I, Lord? Yeah, God's. It says His tabernacle is with men, folks. It's God's happy place to be with you. Do you get that? It's God's happy place to be with you. Think now of your most favorite, beautiful place you've ever visited. Think of it. For that, God is like, nah, I'd rather stay with you. Think of the most beautiful thing you've seen on a postcard in terms of a country. Or you've seen on the computer, on TV, somewhere, places you'd like to visit one day. God is like, nah, I'd rather be with you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. It says, God will tabernacle with men and He will dwell with them. God Himself will be with them. All God has ever wanted is this precious intimacy with you and you and you and me. That's all He's ever wanted. He doesn't want religion, godsdienstigheid, reels en regulasies in die kerk. Jy kan nie, jy mag nie, jy sal nie. He doesn't want our fancy clothes, our fancy buildings. Yes, we enjoy this lekker, maar hy soek nie daai nonsense nie. He wants us. That's all He's ever wanted. He wants us. And we said from the beginning that this revelation is not about prophecies and chochos and monsters and plagues and wars. It's about Jesus. And as we get to the end of this, it's like Jesus done everything He done so that He could have us, that He could inherit us. Verse 4, the former things have passed away. What are the former things? You must remember now, the seven judgments have been poured out. The trumpets, the bowls, everything. Everything, it's all the series, the three series of seven judgments, it's all said and done. The devil is geskaap. Everything. And we're at this place. All things, it says the former things have passed away. So the former things are everything the way it is now, currently under the curse of the law of sin and death. You might say, oh, Mozzie, I'm not under a curse anymore. I'm a Christian. Relax, I'll get to you. Okay? The curse is the law of sin and death. In other words, everything is decaying in the world and dying. We start dying from the moment we are born. Nothing just flourishes and left, if left to its own, except when man withdraws himself from nature. We've discussed this. But you can take the most, even stainless steel. It doesn't mean it can never stain, it means it stains less. Even that, you just leave it. Check after a while. Alles verniel. So you're saying the former things have passed away. The former things, everything the way we know it under the curse of the law of sin and death. We are redeemed from this curse because of what Jesus has done as His children. Galatians 3 and verse 13. The NLT says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That word tree there means wood. Okay. Verse 5, he says, I make all things new. Now God speaks. We've had an angel speaking in John. We've had a man speaking in John. Jesus speaks here in Revelation. Yeah, God says, I make all things new. God himself speaks. Revelation tells us of seven new things. We're going to run through them quickly. There's a new name for us as overcomers. Everybody say hallelujah. Say, I'm an overcomer. No, say it like you mean it, man. I'm an overcomer. The fact that you're here so vandag is means that you've overcome something. I can tell you now, you've overcome at least one, and there's been plenty, but at least one strategy and assignment of the devil to take you out. How many of you have got scars to show it? You're an overcomer. Hallelujah. Is it just me that's excited here this morning? Come on, church. So we get new names as overcomers. You know, Jesus gets a new name too. Huh? Yeah. Jesus gets a new name. I wonder what that's going to be. Read it in Revelation 3 and verse 12. He says, I'll put on you my new name. My new name. I wonder what that's going to be. I think it's because we're used to Jesus. We're used to King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Ancients of Days and Lion of the Tribe of Judah and the Rose of Sharon. I'll go on and on and on. But when we see him, when we see Jesus, we'll have to get a new name. We'll have to get a new name because he'll be beyond anything that we can describe or think. This Jesus. Imagine looking into those eyes. You think your Vafiki or Bokdoriliki or Iskataboliki likes you or loves you. Imagine looking into the eyes of Jesus and seeing that unconditional love like never before. Jesus gets a new name. New Jerusalem gets a new name. There'll be new songs. Hallelujah, deep end. New songs, yes, the new song of the Lord. We'll get new songs, new heaven, new earth, all things become new. As we've said, everything that's under the curse, gone. Verse 8. Verse 8 lists the type of people who will end up in hell. We've gone through it. The idolaters, the flukers, the liars, etc. Sexually immoral, also the hypocrites. The Pharisees couldn't seize, wouldn't seize, refused to seize. All of those oaks end up in hell. Okay? And then it says the second death. It's called the second death, not because they're spiritually dead, because we live forever, either in heaven or hell, depending on where you choose to live. The second death refers to the separation, final once and for all, separation from God forever is called the second death in the Bible. We've taught on that before. Verse 9, one of the seven angels. Remember that this is a man. John bowed to him. He said, no, don't do this. I'm a fellow servant of yours. I'm a man amongst the prophets. So we know that that is a man. Verse 14, 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the names of the 12 apostles are on the city and the gates and the walls, etc. But there was only 11, was he? Is it me? Because Judas, he missed the boat. Well, God has taken care of that. The 12th apostle, his name is Matthias or Matthias. I don't know if I can't say it correctly, but his name is Matthias. We see that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 26. See what I love about the Word of God? Accurate, meticulous attention to every detail. 12 apostles again, the way God called them. That's how it will be. Verse 16, 12,000 furlongs, its length and breadth and height are equal. You know how long a furlong is? Ek gaan vir julle sê. They've worked out, as ek sê they, mense wat baie slimmer is as ek. Every human being that has ever lived, every human being that is alive, and every human being that could possibly be generated and populated till this time, will fit into this space. I'm going to tell you how big it is. With more than enough space. Met ander woorde, luister hier na julle. Van die begin af, het God het so beplan. Hy het ons, julle, allemaal van ons, reeds in gedagte gehad, deur hierdie huis, hierdie stad van ons te bou, groot genoeg, sodat ons allemaal daar kan bly, vir ewig. Think about that. So, your life circumstances change, and yet jou huisie, jy en jou meisie, en jou huisie, and then, people move in or people move out and then dan moet jy bouwerk doen, nee. It's like an afterthought. No, not with God. from the beginning, He had you in mind. He had us in mind. And you know how big it is? These 12,000 furlongs? 2,414 square kilometers. I'm not talking this big. I'm not talking this big. I mean, what kind of big? Continent big. The new city. And we get to stay there. Is anybody excited here this morning? Verse 17. Then it describes the walls. 144 cubits. This is equal to 13.25 kilometers. Groot, ne? Grooterig. Verse 18. Pure gold like clear glass. Gold so pure that it's transparent. Wow. Imagine that. And guess what, people? This is the paving in our new home. Poppy. Poppy. You can only say it in Afrikaans. It's just like the full out of poppy. This is paving also. So the soul goes up to heaven. He dies. Stands before Father Abraham. They start looking for his name in the Lamb's Book of Life and say, well, what's that? He says, Neandis, my droswar, where it's got a rucksack. And it's like heavy. What's that? He said, look, you can't come in out of heaven. You can't come with anything. You've got to come as you are. He says, no, I want to have this, please. And there's a storing there. All the mense will inkom. And hakkele vas met hierdie ou knaap. Hy will inkom. No, you can't come in. And I said, all right, let's see what's in. And there's these gold bars, full on gold bars in a rucksack. And Abraham and the other saints and the angel look at him and say, what? Paving stones. You want to take paving stones into heaven? Streets of gold, so pure, it's transparent. That's the paving in our final home, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. Verse 19 to 20. Now, I'm going to get excited. Hallelujah. Verse 19 to 20 describes what's called anisotropic stones. All right? It mentions them. I went through all those names there. Okay? What is anisotropic as Dennis prepares that video clip for us? The light that we're used to is not the purest light. It's not the best light in the sense that it's bounced and reflected off everything around it. The fact that you can see me this morning is because there's light reflecting off me. The fact that I can see you is because light is reflecting off you. So it's coming at all different angles. In the last generation, and only in the last generation, we've been able to establish, or not create, but avail to us, purer light. In other words, it travels straighter, like super, super, super straight. You get that in the form of a laser. We know what a laser is. Laser is an acronym for light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. Laser, L-A-S-E-R. Straight. Straight, ne? Now, what we've been able to do is, if you take how many of you have Polaroid sunglasses? You put your cool shades on. That's it. Polaroids. Anybody have Polaroids? Yeah. You see what Polaroids does, how it filters that glare out? Now, if you take Polaroid filters and put them at 90 degrees to each other, it makes the light even finer and purer. Okay. These stones that are described in the walls of Jerusalem, part of the foundations, etc., are to us semi-precious stones. It's not like a diamond or a sapphire. They're semi-precious stones. And if you look at them, they're not really like spectacular at all. But when you shine purer light through them, regardless of their color, they change to a spectacular display of multicolored spectrum. Meticulously beautiful. Ladies, if you do that to a diamond, nothing. You do it to any of the stones today that we today consider precious, nothing. But the stones that God chose to include in the building of the new city creates these spectacular colors. Who knew that? Only God. Can there be any doubt to the authenticity of the Bible? Who knew that only these stones, when pure light travels through them, can create the spectacular display of color? Spill on forms. 4 minutes. Just over 4 minutes. Luister mooi.
In the last generation only, we've discovered how to make purer light than we had before. Most light is bouncing around, waves crashing into each other, going in all directions, so that the light coming from that spotlight still lights this side of my face by reflecting off that tinsel up there. We're used to light coming at us from all directions. But we've now discovered how to send light in one direction. Laser light is the most common. You've seen laser light beams straight as a die. But we've also got what we call cross-polarized light. A polarized filter, if you can imagine, allows light through like that. But if you put another polarized filter at right angles to that, you've really got a very fine filter. If you take sunglasses and take one lens and put it at right angles to the other, it goes even darker. It only lets very straight light through. Mm. Now, people have taken jewels and precious stones and cut a very thin slice for microscopic purposes and then shone cross-polarized light through them to see what happens, to put it very crudely, what happens to these precious stones in pure light. And one of two entirely different things happens with every jewel. The technical term, to give you a bit of science for a moment, is anisotropic jewels and isotropic jewels. Now, what happens is this. Some jewels, in pure light, whatever their color to begin with, they may be red, blue, or green, turn into all the colors of the rainbow and the most fantastic patterns. Other precious stones in pure light lose all their color, just go black, look like a lump of coal dust. And it's only in this generation that people have discovered this unusual property. For example, diamonds in pure light are nothing.
Did you get that, ladies?
They're not even...
that? Diamonds, nothing. They won't be there.
No. So make the most of them here. Rubies, garnets, just lose everything.
Emeralds.
No, they keep it.
Oh, good.
There are other stones that are anisotropic and go into these beautiful colors. Now, here's the fascinating thing. The 12 precious stones that God uses to build the New Jerusalem are all anisotropic. In pure light, they are all far more beautiful. And God doesn't touch the diamonds or the rubies. He doesn't build with them. No, let's just put on the screen a picture.
These
stones. Look at the top 12 stones this picture.
Is that amazing?
And you'll see the stones of the New Jerusalem. Look at the four bottom ones at the bottom of the picture. And you'll see they're black, no attraction, whatever.
Donkey.
Now then.
Thank you. Isn't God just awesome? Isn't God just awesome? Who knew that? Who knew that? God. He chose 12 anisotropic stones to build the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Each individual gate, verse 21, was a gate of one pearl. God can make pearls any size he wants to. You believe the scriptures like it's literal unless there is some metaphoric message in it. You think, oh, that can't be. I've never seen a pearl that size. Well, newsflash, you're not God. He is. He can make pearls any size he wants to. Can I get an amen? Verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There will be a literal temple in Jerusalem, many scriptures to confirm that. This simply means that people will no longer go to some building to meet with God. Because, as in an earthly temple of Jerusalem, for God and the Lamb will be visibly present among human beings to meet with them in all places. So it's not like going to be a temple for purposes of worship as we are accustomed to. Verse 23, the city has no need of light other than God and Jesus. So when it says there, you know, there's no need for light. God and Jesus is the light, but the sun and the moon will light the earth outside of the city. See, confirm, there will always be sun and moon. See that in Genesis 8, verse 22, and Isaiah 30, verse 26. Verse 24, the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. Where do these nations come from? These are the natural earthly nations who have lived through the tribulation period, through the millennium. will multiply and replenish the earth and carry out the original program of God on earth as Adam and others would have done if they had not sinned. And these are the sheep nations that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 25, verse 36 to 41. So it speaks of the nations bringing their glory, coming into the city through the 12 gates, broadways, streets, 12 broadways, streets into the city through these gates. The nations will come there. Verse 26, it says, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So imagine it. These are the nations. Remember we said, I wonder how big the population is going to be if it continues to grow and develop for 1,000 years with no sickness, no disease. Imagine that. And no death. I wonder how big it's going to get then. So these nations bringing their glory into the city, coming through those gates. Imagine the traffic. The only traffic we will have will be from nations bringing glory to our new home with us. That's one traffic jam you don't mind being caught in. Folks, as we close, I'm going to ask the deep end to come up in the meantime. This new home of ours will be so magnificent, we won't even remember this old one. You won't remember this old one anymore. As beautiful as it's been on earth, as wonderful and spectacular as it's been, we're not even going to remember the old one. The scripture says in Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Isaiah 65 and verse 17 says, look, I'm creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. What's our take home this morning from this chapter? It's the following. This beautiful, wonderful, incredible city, over 2,400 square kilometers with these beautiful gates made out of huge pearls, these spectacular colors, anisotropic stones and all these fancy things, so that God can live with us, that we are his happy place. The question as we leave this morning, ask ourselves the following. Are you now making place for God in your heart? Can God consider what goes on in your heart and in your mind? Psalm 19 and verse 15, I believe it is. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Can God find your mind a happy place for him? Can God find your heart a happy place for him? If not, you're in the right place this morning. You're in the right place where we can come to God and say, God, I need your change in my life. I need a shift in my mind, the way I think about things, and the things that I think of. Lord, my heart is filled with all sorts of things that I know are not pleasing to you. I ask you this morning, Lord God, to forgive me of that. Cleanse my heart and my mind. Purify my thoughts, Lord. Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. We ask this morning, as you long to tabernacle with us, to live with us, that you find it pleasing. By your grace, Lord, forgive us. Cleanse our hearts and minds so that you're pleased with what you see and that you dwell with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together one more time. Thank you, Deep End.